like a, I always feel like I'm in the movie Ben Hur in this thing. When you put wheels on it, right? Maybe some horse down, you know, I always feel like I'm in a chariot when I'm up here. Makes you feel like you're, I would really, it was a great word both Dan and Michael had, and I'd really encourage you to get a journal and or a diary, whichever one you want to call it, and journal what God is saying right now, because I have to do that. It's like he's speaking so much that I'll forget it. You know, thank goodness for people who journaled here, right? And wrote down things. You know, Jeremiah had a guy, Baruch, who wrote down at his dictation. You know, he would give it and he would write it down. So thank goodness for that, right? And so we need to write down the things that I was always kind of sporadic at best in keeping a journal in my walk with the Lord, but now I'm trying to, every time I'm with him, I've got a, you know, notebook or pen or something, and to go back and look at the things, what he's speaking. You know, as Michael said, which is really true, we're a prophetic church, and the danger in being a prophetic church is it becomes so casual to you. I mean, get up and giving words can be just so like, oh, that's so cool, you know, I got a word today, that's so sweet, and not see the importance of that word and entering into that word, that if it's a word from the Lord, it's an invitation for you, right? It's an invitation put in your hand that you must therefore do something with that invitation. And so I've got a lot of prophetic words that have not come to pass or are coming to pass, and I want to be able to enter into them, but I don't want so many that I forget them, right? Or that I can't, they're just so familiar to me I don't take the seriousness of what God is doing there and what he's giving someone a word. It's always an invitation. Remember that. A prophetic word doesn't mean that something is just going to happen. Sometimes it does, God did. But in our lives, more than not, it is always an invitation for you to enter in. You got a part to play in that, right? You have to enter in. You have to pray this word out. You have to walk in. You have to enter into a room that the Lord has. You got to enter in through a door. You have to step through. And so I've always found that to be true. And sometimes I'm like, hey, don't give me any more words because I'm trying to juggle the words I have right now, right? But as a prophetic church, we're always going to be doing that. God loves to speak to his people. Remember, he told that to me one day. And noonday, you know, we're here every day. Those of us who are here every day, it can be kind of, sometimes you can think, oh man, I'm just feel like I'm up like a street performer, you know, juggling or tap dancing or doing the mime or something to entertain people. And but the Lord spoke to me one day and said, you know, I love to speak to my people, you know, just be available. If we're available and give him our lips, then he'll always be faithful to do that. So so I really encourage you to journal. If you don't journal, then it's not the big deal. Just write down what God is saying so you can go back and look at it and your journey. So this past week, I'll talk a little bit today, I spoke some on, we talked about joy and I think hope. But one of them I talked about is humility. You know, humility is such an important part of our walk with the Lord because in humility, is where we learn to receive from the Lord, right? And if we had to do the opposite of humility, would be pride. You know, the opposite of faith, you know, if we were to move in faith, we would say that the opposite of faith is not really unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. You know, fear keeps me from moving on faith. So the opposite of humility would be pride, you know, pride that keeps me from being able to receive from the Lord. And with just some scripture on that, we'll be kind of all over the place because I had some stuff underlined and read some cool stuff on it. A brother had to say, that's really good. But one of the scripture, I'll give you a few of them in Psalm. So that'll be good for you if you want to mark them. One's in Psalm 25:9. The Lord talks about that he leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. You know, knowing the prayer, one of the prayers find David prayed it, and you find Moses praying it too, where they cried out to the Lord that the Lord would teach them his ways, that they would know the ways of God. You know, Scripture says that, you know, sons of Israel wanted to know God's acts, wanted to see his hand, but Moses wanted to know the ways of God. He wanted to know the heart of God. David wanted to know the heart of God. So the Lord teaches the humble his way, and he leads them in justice, right? I remember when the Lord teaches the humble his way, flip side of that is getting that within our hearts and letting the Lord deal with any pride that we have there, because pride hardens the heart, right? Pride is an outward wall of protection that we have. It comes in various forms, but more than anything it does, it hardens our heart, right? I was reading this week about, Scripture talks about the Leviathan in the Old Testament. You see it in Job. Probably when he was talking about the creatures there, it would be the Nile crocodile. Talks about it in Job chapter 40, I think 41. But there's also, you know, within the charismatic world, you hear about a Leviathan spirit, right? There's a Python spirit, you know, divination, Leviathan, you know, that really works to, you know, it's all over the place, people's interpretation of that, but people have dealt with it through the years. It really is a spirit of separation that works. You know, the Leviathan, it says it's a twisted serpent. Twists things, turns things. Have you ever had a conversation that you've had with someone that just really was twisted? You know, and what you said and what they heard was like, how in the world did that happen? Because what I said and what you heard were just two different things. Somehow, in releasing from the mouth, when it got to that person's ears, it just was really twisted and turned. And that can happen to our hearts over a period of time. And so really works to, in families, separating, you know, starting in the family, which is the first destruction, because with that, works first in the family, then in the church, you know, because if you can't keep your family together, it's hard to keep the church together. But it also works within the church, this Leviathan spirit of separation, to separate and divide and twist, right? Twist what someone said or their motives or anything. So when the demonic thing is in there, it just takes, you know, it can even take truth or whatever and just really twist it. So, and I say this to say, the way we protect ourselves from opening a door to something like this is walking in humility. Right? That's one atmosphere that the enemy cannot dwell in, is an atmosphere of humility. Because the humble person, as it says that God teaches them his way, well, it's just the ability to be able to receive and to learn and to hear. A humble person, right? And I say this all the time, because if you can't receive from people, don't fool yourself to think that you can receive from the Lord too. You know, because that's a really red flag there. This is another one in Psalm 37:11. Says, the humble will inherit the land, and they will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. You know, think about in Scripture, I mean, as far as your walk with the Lord and Jesus, the humble will inherit, you know, the earth, the meek will inherit the earth, as that word is humble, that you will enter into, receive, and you know, get to enjoy the inheritance that you have. Everything in Christ, you know, humility is a way to that. And you delight yourself in great, abundant prosperity in your soul. I'm not talking about just physical things here, but in my soul, I'll delight myself in abundant prosperity. That's in Psalm 37. Just read a few here. This is in Psalm 69. Says, he starts off here, David, I'm afflicted and in pain. May your salvation set me on high. I'll praise your name with song, magnify you with you. It will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek the Lord, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. Right? So one is that humble will be able to see, you know. The pure in heart see God, right? And humility purifies the heart, that we can see God. So here, when we can see it, and also it's in the place of humility where our hearts revive. You know, I was really hearing that word strong today. But I don't know how many rounds boxing you go now. It used to be 15 rounds. You'd go, you know, that was a pretty brutal. And it's either 10 or 12 now that they go now. But I really felt like there's a lot of us in that last round, like the 10th round, 12th round, right? And the Lord really wanted to give a finishing, devastating blow to the enemy. But you're getting weary in the battle, right? And so the Lord really wants to revive our hearts. You know, and part of this is the humble God will revive our hearts, that the Lord really wants to revive some hearts here, breathe life into you, to revive you. And with that, it's just going to, you're going to just have that knockout punch there. So don't get discouraged, because what happens in usually the last round, if you're in a situation where the Lord's taking you to the full 10 rounds, the full 12 rounds, then it's for a reason, right? So don't get discouraged in what you're battling, because you're there. You're in the last round, and the Lord's just trying to do this thing in you and in me. Because too, with pride, you know, I'm going to be flipping back and forth. You can think of a coin back and forth, because it hardens a heart, and a spirit of separation is actually fueled by pride, right? Because that's where self-righteousness comes from, and I just can't understand the life of Christ within me without it. So let me give you a few more here. We got just a really cool scripture. This is in Psalm 76. This is a psalm of Asaph, actually. And this is what I just said. You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and stood still when God arose to judgment to save the humble of the earth. So, again, God arises in his judgment is against the enemy. Always remember that. And one thing he comes and saves is the humble. This is in Psalm 113. This is 113, 5 and 6. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He makes him sit with princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house, and a joyful mother of children praise the Lord. So the picture of humility, this is the kind of a picture here of humility versus pride, that God comes to save the humble. And you know, we're going to read here in a minute, kind of a jump ahead a little bit, because there's two places in the New Testament, in James and in 1 Peter, that says that God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? So opposing in pride, because pride is just like a self-sufficiency thing. You know, it's just that, again, that you got this outer wall of protection that you have there. And it's just hard to get past or get over that wall, and where a pride keeps us from being able to, again, to be able to receive from the Lord. That's the biggest thing here. This is in a couple of them in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. This is in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Read a couple of them out of Isaiah. And this is Isaiah 66. I really like this one. This is really cool. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, which means just a broken spirit, and who trembles at my word. But this one, where he's talking about, where's this place that I may find rest? Where's a place that I can call my home? You know, we know that the universe can't contain him, but we contain him, right? And when we want the Lord to find a resting place within us where the Holy Spirit can come and rest like he did with John, then he can rest in a humble spirit, right? A humble and a broken spirit. Which I mean by that, broken is one that is so dependent on him. This is out of Isaiah 57. For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place. But also I dwell with, this is who God hangs out with. And God hangs out with the contrite and lowly of spirit in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. So you see that? The humility parts when I'm that before the Lord is a place where he exalts me, where he lifts me up, right? Because in humility, I'm just in broken, I'm just open before the Lord, you know, for him to speak to me or him to point out anything or talk to me or, you know, there's nothing, you know, that prayer we think, God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known from you, and there's no secret hid, right? A humble heart is just, is that. It's the dwelling place of God because there, you know, if I'm to walk in union or receive the life of Christ, then I die to myself, right? I can't die to myself if I'm protecting myself, if I've got a wall of protection around me of pride. Because it's kind of even with the pride, you see, there's kind of a two-sided coin there. Because you think of a prideful person as a real arrogant person. But this is kind of some things, some characteristics of pride. You know, again, I see it a lot in the ministry that I do and healing, because a wall can be put up there where you don't trust anybody, a wall of self-protection. If you want that pulled down in your life, then one thing you have to confess is pride. Anything that adds to or takes away from the cross, you know. False humility is one of them. We'll talk about that in a minute. So let's do one side of it. pride, right? One is self-exaltation, you know, where there's just, there's a form of self-righteousness or you're always just exalting yourself or there's a self-promotion, you know. You ever been around people who, when you come away from the conversation, that person, all they talk about is themselves, you know. So you come away, you know, whatever, minutes later, and all that that person has done is just me, you know what I mean? So that can, sometimes that can reveal out of the mouth comes from what fills the heart, where there's a lot of, because a prideful person is one who is just self-consumed, right? We'll see that in a minute when the other side of pride, when a person becomes just so self-consumed. So that's one side of being self-consumed is when their self-exaltation and their self-promotion, you know. Read the scripture in James a little bit when he was writing to these guys and he said, what is the source of quarrel and conflicts among you, you know? And it's your, it says your pleasure that you, you know, you want, you have, you wanting position within the church, you're wanting this and that, and you're fighting and you're quarreling, you know. It says you lust and do not have, so you commit murder, you know, which means, of course, not physically killing somebody, but what that word means is to, you know, John tells us that, you know, if we hate our brother, we're murderers. And you want certain things, you want places and positions, so you, you're quarreling with each other, you know. That's what he was writing to them about, you know. He's trying to get them to get to the very heart of this thing about why you want to, what you want about promoting yourself or, you know. Self-justification, too, is another form of pride where if you're always justifying yourself in the midst of any kind of conflict or argument, if there's always, you're always justifying yourself, right, or having to prove your point or, you know, it's just one side of, can be, pride can be there if that's a part of that, right, where you're just always, you know, I know I do that. I know you probably have never done that before, but, you know, you ever argued with a person and you know that you're not going to lose an argument? and there's just that self, always self-justification, you know. That's just pride, y'all, you know. Why not humble yourself, right? And Scripture talks about that. But this is another side. This doesn't seem like pride, and this is one I really want to focus on because This is like a, this is where a person becomes so just preoccupied with themselves. And the heart of all insecurity is where a person is self-consumed, right? If you're insecure, you're just where you're preoccupied with yourself. Insecurity comes from that. Where there's self, almost like a self-degradation, where you, or you're always putting yourself down. For the sense of, you know, when people, we know that where there's self-demotion, when you're putting yourself down. One of the things I learned early on in ministry, someone told me one of the hardest things to get a person set free from is a self-pity, right? Where a person is becomes a victim. And everything they view life is, they've just been a victim of everything, a victim of circumstance. Or, you know, when you talk to them, any kind of situation, they're always, they're the victim of that, right? And when you try to pull them out of that place, they really don't want to come out of that place, right? When I first heard that, I thought, I'm not so sure if you're right about that. You know, I was thinking that to myself, the person that was telling me that, but I have found that to be extremely true, that, trying to get a person free from self-pity, it can be really hard. You know, it's almost like their counselors have become they've just, you know, degrading themselves and self-demoting. It looks like that's real humility, but it's actually not. It's actually pride. And when you try to say come out of that thing because, you know, you want to work on their identity, they won't walk out of it. I remember one person, it's like the Lord, I was praying for him one time, it was like the Lord just parted the waters. I mean, it was really like that moment. It was like a moment where the Red Sea or the Jordan parted for them to walk out of this place. And I remember them looking at me and saying, well, if I do this, how am I going to get attention? Right? And then the waters closed. And that person ended up with the Lord now. They end up departing this earth, not being free, because it was all about getting a need met in them, right? It seemed like, that person's just so prayed for a ton of people. When they'll give you this spiel and you'll say this, and they always follow up with, yeah, but, you know, or, you know, they just don't want to repent of it at all. That's just self. Loathing, self-pity is rooted in pride. They're consumed with themselves, right? And they want to look as though, they want to be looked at as almost like a hero in the midst of their suffering, right? They're getting a need met. So that's pride. And what I mean is to walk out of that, you have to confess pride, right? Because you therefore saying, what Jesus did is not enough for me, right? And again, anything you add to or take away from the cross is pride. Jesus did it all. So to see that as our self-condemnation, you know, where you just, where you make yourself out to be a judge, you know, where you're just dogging yourself all the time, or, you know, that is a form of pride as well. So to get set free from that, you really have to confess that. Because the Lord wants to, again, he hangs out in a place, the scripture says, he hangs out and delights in a humble and broken spirit. Why? Simple. That person can receive, right? They can receive from the Lord. You can hear God speak. You can receive. You have nothing to protect, right? When it says that, you know, I'm to keep seeking the things above where Christ is, where I'm seated, you know, where he's seated at the right hand of God, and Christ, who is my life, is revealed, I'll be revealed with him. So as we are seeking our identity and who we are, as we know more about the identity of who Christ is within us, then who I am starts coming forth, right? Or anything apart from that. All right, let me turn back to here. Is this right? I wrote down some things these different people had said. I thought it was really cool about that, about humility and and pride. As I said earlier, this is pride and fear go hand in hand. So does faith and humility. Or when people are self-absorbed, they're prideful. A lack of contentment and resting in the Lord means that you're preoccupied with yourself. We are complete in Him. We're secure in who we are. And you don't need validation from other people, right? So again, part of humility in us and letting God just destroy, put to death pride is that, again, if you think about that, when I'm insecure, I'm preoccupied with myself, right? And therefore, I'm going to need validation. I'm going to look for validation from other people and not the true validation that comes from the Lord. And when people aren't giving me the validation, then that's just, it'll be okay, right? I'm not looking to them. You know, I've seen a lot of people early on in the CEC, you know, it was just way bigger than we are now. And I watch a lot of people come and go and a lot of clergy come and go, right? And always blew me away that the thing that led most clergy away is that they weren't getting attention from bishops, or particularly in our diocese, they weren't getting attention from Bishop Chuck. And so therefore they left. He wasn't validating them, or he wasn't, you know, speaking how wonderful they were. I mean, it was amazing how many. I thought, what in the world? So I used to be put in that thing, and you know, to try to keep them, you know, there was conflict either them and within their own church with the priests and deacons or whatever. I was kind of thrown into that mix to bring peace, right? I was supposed to, and it was horrible. Gosh, I hated that. And most of the time, because you're talking to these grown men, right? Who, like, I'm like, you're a shepherd. You know, I'm glad they couldn't read my thoughts. I'd have probably really offended them. Like, what the heck? And but it was that place in them, see? They were self-consumed, and therefore they weren't getting the validation that they needed, and so they left. They looked for it, and if you leave here, if you're looking for that validation, there's somebody out there that's going to give it to you, right? But that won't be. Once you find it, you'll really discover that it's not there either. Jesus warned us about that. It's not receiving glory from men, right? It's a real trap. Because when I'm not receiving glory from men, I understand it, then I'm receiving glory from God. If I'm looking to receive glory from men, I'm always going to be offended because people just can't do it. They cannot meet your needs, right? Even within doing a lot of marriage counseling and stuff like that, which is, this really under assault today, and seeing more of, used to be men years ago, men leaving the home. Now it's women, you know. Probably 80% of the people I deal with is the woman's ready to leave, leave the man with the kids. It used to be the opposite. But you see, they're the same, you know, you hear the same thing over and over again. You know, they're not affirming me. They're not meeting my needs, you know. Well, a true healthy marriage is when that person's, the husband and wife, are getting their needs met in the Lord, right? And then what you get is an overflow of that, right? So if I'm getting my needs met in the Lord and I'm getting affirmed by Him, then my cup overflows. It overflows to TC and my family. And but if not, if I'm bent towards her and I'm getting all my affirmation and my needs met, it'll be just a spiral cycle that goes down. I always use the terms, you know, it works with me because I'm very visual about a tick. You know, a tick is created to attach itself to something else, right, to receive its life, like we are. We're created to attach ourselves to the Lord. But two ticks can attach themselves to each other, right? Or they'll kill each other, suck each other dry. Same way in any kind of relationship. receiving glory from anybody, but you're receiving glory from the Lord, and he will glorify you, right? He loves to do that. Your needs are met, and that just begins, it's just an overflow, okay? So no matter how wonderful you are, wonderful you think he is or she is, after living together for so long, all the flaws come out, right? This is, I'm just going to just, these are kind of sporadic here. let's see, no, I already said that one. Fear refuses to completely surrender to anyone or anything other than its own rationalization or self-preservation. That's the fear there. As my own master, I know I can't control everything around me. But see, if I live in fear, one thing about, and again, now we're talking about all this together, because faith, fear, pride, humility, that if I'm living in fear, it's going to want, I want to control everything around me, meaning every person around me too, right? And when I can't do that, you know, when I can't control them or control the people around me or stuff, then I start either trying to control them, right, or it just turns out to be a mess, right? So all this is working together, and the whole thing I want to do is, that's kind of just jointed there. So I'm going to turn to a couple of places in the New Testament because I really want us to get this within us. This is in James and 1 Peter, and this is where it's talking about where God gives a grace to humble humility. Remember, to operate in great faith, then the Lord has to put to death fear. And to operate in humility, and God has to put to death pride. We'll go to James first, this right before Peter. But this is in James chapter 4. I mentioned it earlier. We'll just spend a couple of minutes here, then we'll be through. It starts off in chapter 4. Remember, chapter 3 is all about the tongue. 4 is, what's the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? It's not the source of your pleasures that wage war in your members. In other words, the problem is actually you. It's in you, right? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Again, I'm asking this thing from the Lord, and it's all about me promoting myself, then he's not going to do that. And then he goes on to, do you not think that the scripture speaks to no purpose, that God, the Holy Spirit, jealously desires to live in us? Really cool. He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you, this whole context of this thing. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. And humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. And from that place, God will exalt you. This is in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when the chief shepherd appeared, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, subject yourself to elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by the brethren who are in the world. Great scripture right there, right? About God giving grace and releasing actually a greater grace to a humble heart, right? A heart that's broken before him. And when I say that, a heart that's pliable, does what he wants to do. When we're just humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord, and it says he will exalt me, right? I don't have to look for exaltation from any person, anything. I don't have to look look for validation from anything. God does that. Right? But keeping ourselves in the place of humility. Now, if you read both of these, this is where both the times when it talks about resist the devil and he'll flee from you, James, right? Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Peter 2 is talking about that the devil looking for someone to devour. Look, and he was saying, humble yourselves under be of sober spirit, be on the alert, right? The whole context about that in both places about the devil looking for someone to devour, he's looking for a prideful heart, right? He's looking for the one who has the walls of pride again, right? All the things that we've been talking about. Whether you're self-consumed or whether you're self-exalting, either or, both things. Both are pride, right? Because if you are looking to get your needs met in other people, he'll eat your lunch. But he'll do it by showing you how everyone around you, what they seem to think about you or not think about you, right? Or in 1 Peter 5, when it talks about the humbling ourselves and humbling ourselves to each other, right? To our elders and to each other. That atmosphere, again, that we create is like a atmosphere that protects us from the enemy, right? But if I can't humble myself to and receive from a person, if I can't receive from you, I can't receive from the Lord, right? It's amazing through the years just seeing that, not only myself, you know, early on, that a person's inability to be able to receive. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that, I like the King James Version because it says, knowledge puffeth up, right? But love edifies. Knowledge just says makes you arrogant. That's what the New American Standard says. Knowledge just makes you prideful. But love edifies, right? It goes on to say it. So, as we're entering into these new places the Lord's taken us and these new doors and these entrance ways, the Lord just wants to refresh and dump out his spirit on all of us, right? But if he teaches the humble his way, he teaches them the ways, he hangs out, all these things that we read, all these cool things that we'll inherit the land, we'll delight ourselves in abundant prosperity, then I want to create an atmosphere like that within me, right? In my garden. Of humility. So he'll exalt me. He'll, from that place, lift me up, right? See the word lift me up. When I think of exalting, I lift me above people, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about lift me up in life, right? Above my enemies. And if I can't let him get to that place, then what I need to confess is my pride. Let the Lord pull that wall down, right? Let him deal with that, because if it's keeping me from, and I'm using this as personal, it keeps me from experiencing his grace, his life, then I want it out of me. Got you? Right? So, again, I wanted to really see this. One, pride is kind of easy to see. The other is not so easy. That if you're always self-loathing and putting yourself down and you want to know how to get set free from that, confess your pride. Right? Because you're actually saying there's it's not enough. Right? And what that will create an atmosphere for us here, for you, of God hanging with us. Right. Well, let's stand. I'm going to pray for you real quick. Lord, I just thank you for love us so much. As Dan was saying, Lord, you go after the one, and you have such a heart. Lord, we want to draw near to you, as Scripture says. The Spirit so jealously desires.